Good morning, everyone. Let's stand together. Let's worship Jesus today.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. My name is Max, and I get to serve here with our young adults and our college students at Grace, and it is so good to be with you this morning. This morning is going to be a little bit different, and so I want to kind of set the stage for you of what we're going to do, and I want to first start by inviting you to go ahead and take your seat for this morning. We are going to be praying. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and so what I'm going to invite you to do this morning is I'm going to invite you to consider the body of Christ, recognizing that the body of Christ stretches across the world, and parts of that body are under intense persecution. And I want you to consider right now the idea that we here at Grace are a part of that body. We're a part of the body of Christ. Knowing that part of our body is being persecuted is something that we seek to do this morning. We are endeavoring to tap into, to consider what it means that the body of Christ is under persecution and what it means that we are a part of that body. So oftentimes we will say something like, can you imagine following Jesus in a place where 99% of the people have not heard the verse, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you imagine following Jesus in a place where you're under intense persecution? And we say that sometimes just as a way of kind of making it seem more personal or intense, but I want to really invite you this morning to imagine. Can you imagine this morning with us as the body of Christ? Would you imagine what it is like for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in prison, who are under persecution, who have experienced heartache for following Jesus and what their government has done to them? The book of Hebrews in chapter 13 says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in one body. This morning, I want to invite you to remember those who are in prison as though you are in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. You are also in the body. And I want to prepare you that this morning of prayer, it's an invitation to have a conversation with the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who has written the good news of the gospel to us and also to our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. And we're going to endeavor to do something together as we have an open invitation to God to have a conversation with him, to position ourselves as part of the body. We are going to endeavor to do this, and it's a morning that will challenge you. It will make your heart feel heavy as you imagine what it is like for our brothers and sisters who are part of the persecuted church. I want you to consider Hebrews and what it's asking us to do as we endeavor this morning. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Would you please imagine as we seek to pray and worship this morning? And we're going to do this in a lot of different ways. We're going to worship as a prayer. As a church, we're going to worship as a prayer this morning. We might pray silently, sitting in our seats by ourselves. We might pray in small groups. We'll have a moment of corporate prayer where a few of us will pray out loud over this body. And we just want to invite you to engage in every possible way that you can this morning with the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So we'll have some videos that are going to inform us about the persecuted church, and then we will respond in prayer. After this first video, what we're going to do is we're going to pray silently by ourselves in our seat. So we're going to watch a video together that tells us a little bit about the persecuted church, and then the worship team will play music just like they are now. They'll play music after this video and give you space just to pray silently by yourself for this morning as you imagine and pray for the body of Christ that is being persecuted.
Could praying put you in danger? Could going to church risk your life? Could following Jesus cost you your job, your home, or your family? Around the world today, our Christian brothers and sisters are counting the cost of their faith. And these are the 10 countries where the price of following Jesus is highest. Number 10, Afghanistan. The Taliban hunts for hidden networks of believers. Suspected Christians can be arrested, interrogated, and even killed. At number 9, Iran. House churches are seen as a threat to national security. Pastor Anushavan has started serving a 10-year prison sentence after 30 agents raided his home. Sudan is at number 8. In the chaos and conflict of civil war, Christians are especially vulnerable. Believers have been attacked, their property looted, and churches closed. Number 7, Pakistan. Pakistani Christians are seen as second-class citizens. False accusations of blasphemy result in innocent believers facing mob violence. Christian girls continue to be abducted and forced to convert to Islam. Nigeria is at number 6. More Christians are killed for their faith in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. Pastor Zachariah came home one day to find his village attacked and his wife and son murdered by militants. Number 5, Yemen. The very small number of Yemeni Christians must worship in secret. House church leader Saleh is on the wanted list, but despite death threats, he courageously continues his ministry. At number 4 is Eritrea. Christian activities are severely restricted. When Abdullah told people about Jesus, he was sent to prison. The conditions were so terrible that he never came out alive. Libya is number 3 on the list. Libya considers itself to be a completely Islamic nation. Libyan believers who tell others about Jesus risk arrest and violent opposition. Number 2, Somalia. In this highly restrictive Islamic society, even the suspicion of being a Christian is extremely dangerous. Converts who are discovered may instantly pay with their lives. And at number 1, North Korea. This remains the most costly place in the world to be a Christian. Even owning a Bible is illegal. Jiho's father was taken away when security agents discovered his secret book. She never saw him again. Christians are sent to appalling labor camps or simply killed on the spot. More than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination. That's 1 in 7 Christians globally. And every one of them a son or daughter, a mother, a father, a child of God. For nearly 70 years, Open Doors has been supporting our persecuted church family, helping them to stand strong. They are counting the cost of following Christ. And with your help, they can keep believing, knowing that Jesus is worth everything.
Hi, we're Brent and Gigi Wadle, and we want to talk just a few minutes about Nigeria and pray for them. Nigeria is on the world rankings is 6th, but I want to say one thing that you probably saw come across your screen was more believers are killed in Nigeria every year than the combined rest of the world. So just understand that for a minute. 230 million people in the country, biggest population in the continent of Africa is in Nigeria. 102 million of those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's 102 million believers in Nigeria. And you see this video and it just breaks your heart, but really it just, they're being pushed south and killed. Even the rural areas, the believers in Christ are being killed in devastating ways. The attacks are brutal. They destroy their property, they abduct them, they hold them for ransom, sexual violence. Believers are stripped of everything they have and taken their crops and their houses, everything, and you see them living in the tents. And it just breaks our heart for it. And one of the things that was said last year and that I just tried to continue to do is set a reminder every morning that I'd pray for a persecuted church. So this year I'm going to try to dedicate myself to pray for Nigeria just because you just see what's going on in their mind. So we're going to spend just a few minutes in prayer for Nigeria, and Gigi's going to lead us.
Good morning. We would love for 3 people to stand where you're at and pray out loud for these few prayer requests. If one person can pray that the victims of violence and their families will find healing and hope in Jesus. The second is pray for peace, stability, and safety in the areas where militants seem to attack. And pray for Open Doors Ministry partners helping displaced Christians with practical aid and spiritual care. And Father God, we love you, and we're so thankful you love us. So many of our sisters and brothers have experienced such horror and trauma. Please pour your unfailing comfort into their hearts. Heal their wounds, refresh their spirits, and restore their lives. Please guard believers who are at risk of attack and surround them with your peace and presence. We ask that you help them as they seek to respond to persecution in a biblical way so that their lives lead others to you. Strengthen, protect, and encourage leaders who face enormous pressures and dangers. Bring peace, stability, and safety throughout Nigeria. Help the influence of those who wish to stir up violence and move the new government to do more to protect your children. God, we pray these things in your powerful name. Amen.
Right behind me, right past the valley behind me, is actually North Korea. And it has been a powerful afternoon as we've been able to sit here and talk to some people who defected from North Korea.
One of the phrases we heard was that North Korea is actually a very religious country. Yes. That they are taught to worship the leader.
They don't have enough food and they need hope.
99% of North Koreans have never read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I think sometimes it's hard for us as Americans to really understand the need for Bibles in certain countries around the world. I mean, we have unlimited access to God's word, but there are places around the world where that's not the case, and North Korea is one of them. And I think that really hit home today when our partner showed me a handwritten copy of the entire book of Philippians by a North Korean.
This is what's been written in North Korea. Underground church. Mm. It's very dangerous.
You said
what we are doing.
This is the book of Philippians?
Philippians.
Wow. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Very recently, we receive a request. Normally, our connection in North Korea do not ask for food, but during the COVID, no jobs and no work and no food. North Korea, being a communist nation, everything's supposed to be shared and government supposed to distribute, but that's not happening.
I don't think we paint the story of the situation accurately enough. The oppression, the persecution, the poverty in North Korea, it's the most persecuted country in the world.
It's just such a foreign concept. I agree with you, like the word persecuted Christian, I think maybe has lost a little bit of its punch because we really cannot even relate to what it means.
This isn't just having their feelings hurt at church. North Koreans are becoming believers knowing they're facing death.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
그러니까 지금 북한을 위해서 정말 여러 가지 성경책과 정말 식량 뭐 이런 거 보내주신다면 정말 그 북한 사람들은 일단은 그 배고픔에서 해방 먹고 죽지는 않잖아요. 이 성경책이 들어감으로 해서 아무리 보위부가 그 막 핍박을 하고 막 통제를 하고 이래도 그거는 여전히 쭉 이어지는 것 같아요. 그 하나님 이게 전도하면서 어떤 사람은 걸려서 잡혀도 가지만 그 속에서 사람들이 머리를 깨우치고 그런 사람들이 점점 더 늘어나는 것 같더라고요.
many of these new believers from North Korea, they live their Christian walk and their Christian life at such a higher level than Christians in the rest of the world that it really is difficult for us to comprehend their level of commitment and how much they love God and how much they're willing to risk.
There is a story of the underground church that I could talk about. When we brought food and a copy of the Bible over to the North Korea, the response from the underground believers, number one, they said, how'd you get this in? And number two, the tears in their eyes. I mean, you care enough to bring with all the dangers and all the difficulty, you brought this for me? The choice is given. Take the one bag of rice or a big, thick Bibles. Their hand goes to the Bible before the rice. Okay. Why are they want the Bible? They want the rice very much. But if they have a choice, they take the Bible. Because they know the Bible give them eternity. Whereas the rice, it be only been eaten for a very short period. So what we do? We give them a Bible as well as the rice. So they would have it both.
Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Well, to start off today, we ask that you would consider, that you would imagine what it was like for part of our body that is being persecuted. And my hope and prayer is that you have this morning. And so we're going to enter a time of praying for North Korea, but I want you to consider what else is God asking you to respond and do. This morning we've responded by worship and prayer, but as we leave this place, what could our response be? So if you would, for this next time of prayer, I want to encourage you just to change something about your physical posture. This morning has been about our heart posture and asking God to change that and work in and through that here in this body and in the body of Christ that is in a different place. But change something about your physical posture. It can be as simple as where you're sitting, just opening your hands. You can stand up and lift your hands. You can find some space to get on your knees or make your way to an aisle. But I would like to invite you to do that now, and then we'll pray together. So if you would, change something about your physical posture as we pray together for North Korea. Lord, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. You restore our soul. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even when we or parts of your body walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I pray that we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, you have said these things, that in you we may have peace. In this world we will have tribulation, but we can take heart. You have overcome the world. It was your great love that came after us when you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that whoever would believe in you, God, would have eternal life. And God, that is our prayer for this city, and that is our prayer for North Korea. It is hard for us to imagine living in a place where 99% of people don't know these words. But God, we pray that they would in North Korea. We pray that your word and you would come powerfully in that place, that you would move in and through the people there that you would move in and through the leaders there. And God, we pray specifically for North Korea, people who are imprisoned for their faith, that they would know your sustaining and loving presence is with them at all times. God, we pray for secret believers, that they will be protected from the scrutiny of authorities as they meet together. And we pray for their leader, Kim Jong-un, that his regime will become more open to the help and influence of the international community, God, and that you would do a work in their heart. God, we pray that you would remind us that today is about your body, not just the one here, not just the one there, but it is about your body, that the body of Christ would be a group of people, that the light of Jesus would shine in and through. Would you be with your body there in North Korea? Would you be with your body here? Would you continue to posture our heart to worship you with everything that we have? And God, even as this body, as this nation moves into a pivotal week, God, would you remind us as your body to shine the light of Jesus in and through who we are, what we do, what we say, how we pray, how we live, how we worship. And would you do that work in North Korea? God, we love you, we trust you, and we thank you for this morning that we've had to cry out to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.